Thursday, March 8th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. With all that we have to be concerned with today, with all that stands to threaten what we hold dear, it is always important to remember the positive. Despite how easily it seems that so many we care about are manipulated and worked back into the lies of the establishment, we must remember that the only reason that their efforts have seemingly been kicked into high gear is because we're making a difference, even if that's hard to see right now. That does not mean we will ultimately succeed, as this is a very powerful and multifaceted agenda we face that is interlaced with most, if not all, positions of power. But we must take solace in the fact that we are changing minds. We are reaching people, and that scares them. This is why we are being censored. This is why we are being silenced. This is precisely why we are being attacked. Because we're succeeding. Yet they would never want you to know that. They want you discouraged, beaten down, and disconnected. They divide us so we can be conquered. The choice is yours, and I know it's easier to fall back into the comforting suffocation of the state-sanctioned groupthink mentality, but deep down, in the back of your mind, you will know that you are on the wrong side of history. Do not be fooled by the forcefully presented false majority and the fraudulent mainstream media representation of the status quo. See through this act and speak your mind. You will find that we are many and we're well prepared. So let's get into it. First story of the day coming out of ZeroHedge.com. U.S. imposes more sanctions on North Korea despite diplomatic breakthrough. We recently touched on this story, and it was exactly as we expected. Actually, just after reporting the other day, it came out that the U.S. finds North Korea killed Kim's brother with VX agent. Now, clearly this is something that's been ongoing for a very long time. The court cases have already been seen to fruition. For this to all of a sudden jump forward is very suspect. I mean, ultimately, for me, this is all too expected. You know, just when it seems peace is possible, the U.S. discovers some new factor which drives the hostilities forward. Two things to note here, as far as I see. First, there is no reason anyone should trust the word of the U.S. government in regard to discussions of chemical weapons and really all else, as far as I'm concerned. Second, say for the sake of conversation, that the accusations are true, and they're likely true, but that's beside the point. How absurdly hypocritical to impose economic sanctions, which almost entirely affect the civilian population, and by design, due to the claim that one man was killed at the behest of North Korean leader. Such a disproportionate response speaks volumes as far as I can tell, and it tells all watching that all the potential lives that could be lost due to the future conflict are less important to the U.S. than keeping North Korea in the doghouse. It's also overtly hypocritical for the U.S. to stand on its high horse, casting down judgments when it has done far worse and quite recently. The bottom line, this was likely being held in reserve for this exact occasion. Now the U.S. can keep stoking the flames under the guise of false moral superiority. It's just something that we've seen play out. The Olympics are a perfect example of this, where at the very least we would expect a show of diplomacy. But now we're seeing aggressive diplomacy, if that's even a thing. The recent great article by Whitney Webb shows you exactly this topic about how they're now, and we also recently talked about how the idea of this nuclear threatening has become a positive, how Donald Trump is being given like the positive aspects here, saying, oh, well, your aggression worked, and now North Korea is choosing to stand down, when in reality, they've been continually offering to do just that, and the U.S. is ignoring any kind of talk, saying that they have to adhere first to what the U.S. demands, which is unreasonable. But now, all of a sudden, because they're saying the same thing they've been saying, and it's getting highlighted by mainstream media, they're saying, oh, congratulations, Donald Trump. Oddly enough, by the same media who criticize him on every other field, the moment that he talks more about war and aggression, which we've pointed out in the past, all the mainstream media is behind him. The reality is this is ridiculous to give this, to even in slightly lay this positive step, if that's even what it is, at the feet of Donald Trump. It's because all they've been doing thus far has been aggression and provocations. And now to say that that's due to the, it's a positive thing, that this is all because of that is ridiculous. And it's propaganda being framed so it seems that way. But in reality, despite that, which is what this story is getting into, they still went forward with more sanctions and still cast down these economic sanctions, despite the fact that there's some kind of, you know, hypothetical peace being made here. I mean, clearly the point is that's not what the U.S. is after. They do not want peace to be made here for many different reasons, whether we're talking about resources, simple geopolitics, standing against China for the future. There's a lot of different aspects at play when you're talking about North Korea specifically. But at the end of the day, we can tell that peace is not what they want. And to see this happen right afterward is very obvious. So we just need to continue to be very, very vigilant when it comes to the story and ask questions in regard to everything that the U.S. says about North Korea. I honestly think that this case of his brother, Kim probably did kill his brother. I don't find that to be that shocking. It's not like he's an amazing person. We know that North Korea as a country is, you know, less than standard when it comes to human rights and that kind of idea. But the United States is not a pillar either. The reality is that that's one person being killed does not represent this kind of action. We're talking about places like Saudi Arabia and Israel who are overtly carrying out genocide and yet being completely ignored because they're an ally of the United States. So we cannot reconcile those two things and think that action on North Korea is okay while other things are being carried out much, much worse. Moving on to the next story, speaking of Israel, coming out of activistpost.com, Israel now arming 7 terrorist groups in Syria. Now, this is an interesting one because it's something we've talked about many different times. I don't think this is very hard to believe for many people, but the point of this story is to verify and show that, as we've said before in more than one way, that Israel is supporting ISIS and terrorist organizations around the world. In this case, it's specifically to do with Syria, and it's specifically to do, in my opinion, with Golan Heights and their control of that area. But what we're seeing here is that they're overtly arming terrorist organizations, not moderate rebels, but terrorist organizations to manipulate the geopolitical situation in Syria. Yet, again, to kind of sidestep right back into this conversation in North Korea, we're talking about the fact that they're carrying out economic sanctions and discussing actual nuclear attacks on North Korea because he killed one man, yet we have Israel murdering people around the world, specifically talking about Palestine, Gaza, but yet now we're talking about the fact that they're arming the very terrorist organizations that the U.S. is still feigning to be fighting. So it just, again, it just does not add up. So why is this not being discussed by mainstream media? Why is this, why are we not casting down economic sanctions on Israel? Again, because it's an ally of the United States and their ultimate agendas are kind of aligned with what they're trying to accomplish in Syria. So we're not going to see this discussed. So again, just overt hypocrisy on the world stage, which we've pointed out many different times. But one more way to show you that Israel is literally part of the problem, as many of these countries are, as we cast down judgments on other countries that may be just as bad, but it's just ultimate hypocrisy at the end of the day. Moving on to the next story coming in of mintpressnews.com, given $120 million to fight Russian meddling, U.S. State Department spends zero. This one is frustrating to say the least, but it's very revealing as far as I'm concerned. What this is showing us is that none of the 23 analysts at the Anti-Propaganda Office who have been tasked with countering Russian disinformation even speak Russian. And it's discussing the Global Engagement Center. And this essentially is something that was set up in 2016 under Obama to fight jihadist, Islamic, ISIS-type aspects around the world. And that's why it's interesting when you find out that everyone involved in this doesn't speak Russian, but applies to that kind of area. But now it's being funded more and being shifted into Russian disinformation. But what this ultimately shows us, that no steps have been made, and you can see Tillerson's being kind of hung with this, but seemingly being laid at his feet as his problem and his mistake, if you will. But ultimately what this is showing us is that he's dragging his feet and he basically is almost turning down money in different ways, despite the fact that this is being labeled as like the largest threat to our democracy, as fake news was, as a lot of different things were that get forgotten very quickly as we move forward. But the point is that with all the talk about how serious this is and how, oh my God, Russian meddling and how they're manipulating our democracy, and yet no steps have been taken. It just shows you that it's a facade. It's a complete manipulation, whether you're talking about funding. I mean, $120 million is nothing in compared to how much money is being spent on these black budget projects. But really what this shows you is that this is a facade being put forward to be framed around the Russian meddling idea, but it's really no imminent threat of Russian meddling. This is about manipulating the local aspect, the really countering American independent media, that in labeling them as Russian bots and manipulation. And really it's just about countering narratives that go against the establishment concept. And that's something that we've been seeing growing for a very long time, talking about censorship and manipulation. A fantastic report done by James Corbett and Daniel McAdams, which I'll put in the show notes as usual, discusses this exact topic and shows you that this is the real focus. They're talking about censoring and using this facade of Russian manipulation. And that's also why we've all been labeled Russian bots, because they're trying to label those of us speaking against the establishment narrative as disinformation, foreign disinformation, so that it can be manipulated and be shut down. And now under some legal guise that makes it okay, right? My site and my information can be shut down because I'm facilitating some kind of foreign disinformation, when we know that's not the case. But what are we going to say about it? That's what this is leading towards. So the fact that they've spent zero to move forward on the Russian meddling aspect is very revealing. But we need to begin to recognize where this is really going. And it is very clearly labeling and manipulating and censoring those of us trying to spread truth. Even if from time to time we may get something wrong, I mean, it's pretty damn clear to see that mainstream media gets things wrong quite a bit. But the reality of the situation is that those of us who are actively trying to speak about topics that are very clearly being misrepresented by those in the mainstream media, we're being deemed foreign disinformation. But I think that's pretty clear to most people that are paying attention today, but it's an important story to touch on. Moving on to the next story, slightly related, coming out of mintpressnews.com, new documents reveal FBI's cozy relationship with Geek Squad. That's a quick one I want to touch on because it's funny how we're talking about countering propaganda and misinformation, the FBI and intelligence agencies being involved in this kind of act. Yet now we're seeing that the FBI specifically was manipulating and working with the Geek Squad for years and illegally accessing your information and manipulating perception. I mean, we're talking about the FISA memo and all these, you know, the second counsel that's supposed to be coming around for investigation of the FBI, which is absurd because we already have very clear evidence of exactly what they did. The point is that they are illegally and spying on you in every possible way you can think of. This is just one aspect that they're being caught in. And so it's frustrating to see this bureaucracy snail along where, oh, we're second counsel and more investigation when we know exactly what's going on. Yet nothing has happened. I mean, obviously, I stopped keeping count of the day by day. It's clearly been weeks and weeks since we've had the FISA memo and all the information that we can see. They're breaking the law. We can see it right there. And yet, you know, and not specifically the FISA memo, but just so many different ways that we can verifiably see that the FBI specifically is breaking the law, yet nothing ever comes of it. And there are so many different ways we can see that happening today. But this is just one more aspect of seeing that they overtly violate your constitutional rights and nothing comes of it. So it's just more, it's more information to be aware of, spread around, inform people. That's all we can do in this kind of case. Moving on to the next story coming out of collectiveevolution.com, another huge Vatican-linked pedophile ring has been exposed. In 2015, a lawyer by the name of Ulrich Weber uncovered the startling fact that during the 30 years that a Catholic boys' choir in Germany was run by Benedict XVI's elder brother, approximately 600 boys with a high degree of plausibility were victims of sexual and physical abuse or both. The report identifies 500 cases of physical abuse and 67 cases of sexual abuse committed by a total of 49 people in a position of power. Now, it's almost horrifying how this is not even shocking anymore. We've exposed the Vatican, the Catholic Church, so many times in the last, 10 years, more so. I mean, this is something that's been an ongoing discussion, yet so many people tend to reflexively deny that this kind of thing is even taking place. Yet once again, we have something being exposed. And there's, I mean, this is a story that is sadly, obviously true at this point. The fact that these kind of things are happening and that it's being covered up is the real point here. And again, this all ties back to the larger issue of what's going on behind the scenes and why this is being covered up and who that's protecting. I mean, it's something that goes far beyond just the church. But this case specifically is a perfect example of how this works in power positions, where this has been, I mean, who doesn't? There were movies made about this kind of thing. We know that these kind of things are happening and that they're covering it up. Yet it's almost like it doesn't exist. It's not, you're not going to hear this on the mainstream media. Ask yourself why that is. Why we're not talking about this huge case that is verifiably proven and has happened and has historical precedent. Not talking about it. I mean, it's something we need to begin to recognize, how these cases specifically are not covered and addressed as other crimes. There's that in and of itself exposes to me some degree of manipulation, that they know they're not supposed to cover these kind of cases. They're not supposed to address the real criminal acts behind what's going on here, because it ties back to very specific elite circles within positions of power, government, churches, all kinds of things we've discussed many different times. And anyway, this is a topic that's hard for many people to take in and really grasp, but it's something that is increasingly being revealed. And to move on to the next story, which is very hard to hear, which is one that shows what happens when someone tries to reveal this kind of act and this sinister nature behind the scenes. And that's coming from the freethoughtproject.com, entitled "Father Murdered, Family's Home Raided by 240 Cops for Exposing High-Level Government Pedophiles." In 2008, a four-year-old described being sexually assaulted by high-level Lithuanian officials. Her testimony was later verified as true by four separate commissions. She never saw her day in court. The father of the child pushed for the men to be prosecuted for what they did to his daughter. He was then murdered. According to reports, the girl's father was abducted and brought to a secret bunker from the old Soviet Union, where he was brutally tortured, fingernails were torn out, and his bones were smashed and partially cut off. Finally, the torturers tied him into a straitjacket and drowned him in a nearby storage lake. In spite of all the evidence showing horrifying violence enacted against him, the official government verdict was that he drowned in a puddle. Then the child was sent to live with her aunt, who was a former Lithuanian judge and parliament member. She was brutally persecuted by the government after she also attempted to expose this corruption. In May of 2012, the abused girl was abducted from her aunt's home by 240 government agents. After this horrific incident, the child was horrifyingly returned to the abuser, and the aunt, who now feared for her own son's life, then fled to the United States in 2013. Although they moved there to find refuge, 2 weeks ago the aunt was arrested and the Lithuanian government is now seeking her extradition before the political asylum case is over. Whether or not the U.S. chooses to extradite her will tell us quite a bit, but the fact that she now resides in prison already reveals just how far beyond national borders this sinister elite club truly goes. Now, this story is very horrifying one, ultimately, when you really stand back and see how it all progressed and how there's evidence of everything that they're showing you, and how this well-respected former member of parliament is now in prison and about to be extradited back to Lithuania simply for trying to expose the truth. And this one is so horrifying when you really understand that the child was sent back to live with the very person they were accusing of molesting and raping her. And that is horrifying when you understand that even under the accusation, for them to do that speaks volumes of the power of the people involved. There's just so much darkness in the world today. And the reason it can seem so hopeless at times is because that's the plan. That's what they want us to fixate on. And yes, there is evil, but as I said in the beginning, we must never lose sight of the good that is also all around us. I, for one, will never stop fighting, never stop broadcasting, never stop bringing you what I believe to be the truth they do not want you to see. We must always remember that there is goodness in the world, and it resides within those of us that still are fighting for the freedom of all humanity, not one race, one culture, or one nation. For all those who are being oppressed by the shadowy entities of the world, for the weak being held under the boot of those who have forgotten what it means to be a true leader, to use that strength to protect the weak, to fight for those who are unable to fend for themselves, that which the U.S. was once seen to represent. And regardless of whether it ever truly did, that belief, that charge of protecting the weak and fighting for the disenfranchised, that piece of the U.S. that no longer seems to exist, in manipulation or not, still lives on within us. And we will not stop until that idea is reinstated as the foundational piece of what this nation represents. And that, my friends, should give us hope. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.